MBTA Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Ryan Kaholin, is joining us today to give us a little update on this really historic shutdown of the MBTA's red line between JFK, UMass, and Braintree. So, Mr. Kaholin, great to meet you, and thanks for spending some time with us.
Joe, great to meet you as well. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, I think it's important to let your riders know exactly what's going on, how it impacts them, and how it's going to improve the service. We're recording this on the first Monday after the shutdown on September 9th. So how's it going so far?
So, Joe, for the first Monday of this diversion, things are going really well. Now, so much of the work actually began months before the red line actually closed between Braintree and JFK UMass this past Friday night. But, you know, we're into it now. We have just about 1,300 people out there working in four separate work zones. And we're deep into it. You know, we're changing rail, replacing ties, installing new ballast. Already there's, you know, we have 17,000 ties that, to replace, and we're already well into that. So much of the work is not so much the actual install of any of those materials, but, you know, the red line corridor, particularly between Braintree and Boston, it's very constrained, right? It's essentially tracks, next to interstate highways or buildings, or retaining walls. So the actual work, I'll say, is the easy part. It's the logistics of actually accessing some of these areas that's really challenging. And when you have to bring in a string of new continuous welded rail, which is 507 feet long, to get that into the right-of-way to actually replace the rail, those are the more challenging parts. But like I said, we started to pre-position materials, you know, weeks ahead of this diversion. We started to actually weld all of that rail several months ago into those long strings so that we move those strings of rail in and it delivers a better end product.
Is this a 24-hour operation, Mr. Kaholin?
This is 24/7. The only time there is downtime is at shift change. We actually stop all the work to bring everyone in for a safety briefing, you know, so that folks know the expectations. They discuss, you know, who's doing what. Obviously, communication with anything of this scale is so important to a good outcome. And not just about the production, but making sure that the workforce is informed, that everyone knows what everyone's doing so that you can reduce and prevent some conflicts before they happen. But other than that, it's 24/7.
The materials that are being replaced, the rails, the ties, are these the original pieces of material from when the red line was first installed?
So a lot of it's original to when the Braintree branch was installed. Now, you know, rail will typically have a life anywhere of 30 to 60 years and sometimes longer. But we have to remember, since the red line Braintree branch was built, you know, service has run consistently. And, you know, in the last couple of years is when we started to see the speed restrictions pop up. A huge part of running any type of rail infrastructure, and my background is railroads, is maintenance. And I think one of the biggest issues that we have that we are overcoming here is when you run service from 5 a.m. till 1 a.m., that only leaves a few hours every night to actually maintain your infrastructure. And that maintenance is so important. And, you know, the work that we're doing right now, once the work is complete and the rail's replaced and the ties replaced, the heavy lift really begins, and that's to make sure that we can maintain all of this in a constant state of good repair so that we do not repeat history.
So does that mean more, you know, less frequent shutdowns, total shutdowns in the future?
Well, so I think that ideally we don't want to have to shut down to maintain, but we do have an infrastructure that allows us to do things like single track. Right. So folks, when they do ride the red line, you know, there's many locations where trains can switch from one track to the other. And we are very conditioned to say, well, that's the track inbound and that's the track outbound. But right now we're working to identify windows where ridership is not as heavy, you know, particularly the early evening, even the late evening of the service day, where that we could actually run trains on the opposite tracks which will allow us to take a small segment of track and make that available for maintenance, whether it's tie replacement, rail replacement in the future. But we really, I mean, we're challenged to think outside the box with how we're going to maintain this moving forward. And I will tell you that the leadership team of the MBTA, from the top right through all the ranks, we are laser focused on making sure that we change the way that we maintain the infrastructure. And we all acknowledge that that 2 or 3 hours overnight is just not enough. And it may take 30 years for that to catch up, but it has. And that's the world that we're living. That's the world that we're recovering from now. But we're going to continue to deliver on our commitments. Because rest assured, I never want to live this again. And I know I'm speaking for every passenger that's been affected by the speed restrictions on the Red Line. But I'll also say my job is to make sure that I set everyone up for success. That is our passengers. That's our motor persons who operate the trains. That's our maintenance personnel who are challenged with maintaining the infrastructure. But it's everyone that comes after us. We want to make sure that we leave a system that is in solid in a solid state of good repair, and it's forever maintainable.
To that end, then, can we talk a little bit about what benefits riders will notice once this work is completed?
Sure. So we have 20 speed restrictions that have come off, that will come off when this work is completed. Now, some of these restrictions have been in play for the better part of 2 years. And as folks will know, a 10-mile-an-hour speed restriction over that stretch from Braintree into Boston, that's tough. That's a tough trip. People will see speeds increase. Nominal speed, out of the gate will be 40 miles an hour, returning it to what it was pre-restriction. And, believe it or not, the Braintree branch was actually built to 50 miles an hour. So that was factored into the signal design and, curvature and everything that goes into that calculation. Shortly after the track work is complete, and we have some training to do in-house for our operating folks, but we expect to increase maximum speeds up to 50 miles an hour on several segments of the Braintree branch. For those who ride it, there's many sections that are just tangent straight track. No stations, no reason to not go 50. So people are really going to see some benefits from that. And ultimately, when we're up there running, 40, 50 miles an hour, and we've calculated that people will realize, almost a 30-minute return to their day. If they take the round trip, they're going to get almost 30 minutes back to their day. And that's a big deal. So when we talk about historical in nature, that's one of the big takeaways is people, if you work a 5-day work week or you have to commute 5 days a week on the Red Line, imagine getting that time back.
So does this mean now, after this is done, no more restrictions, say from JFK South?
Correct. That is correct. And I want to be clear. Speed restrictions, they are a cost of doing business. However, our team's goal is when a speed restriction does manifest, right? When a track condition warrants the need of for a speed restriction, it can't linger, right? So we've set our own internal thresholds for every speed restriction to be removed within 30 days. If a defect develops, we have to have a target. So speed restrictions should never be allowed to fester, right? Tracks don't heal themselves. Rails don't heal themselves. They need a level of intervention. So as we've rebuilt the culture of the MBTA, a big part of that work is really focused on our maintenance teams and making sure they're equipped, whether it's with the skill set or the knowledge basis of how to maintain track with trains running on the adjacent track even. And again, you get into the tools, making sure they have the right tools to do the job.
Right, I wanted to ask about, I know that the commuter rail was also shut down this past weekend and then again next weekend. So is there work going on the commuter rail tracks as well?
So the bulk of the commuter rail shutdown is focused on getting materials out into the Red Line diversion. As I mentioned, there's so many limitations with getting material out onto the Red Line. But while that is happening, commuter rail forces are using that window of opportunity as well to do work on the commuter rail side as well.
Are there any other speed restrictions north of JFK, Mr. Callahan?
So the bulk of the work on the Red Line, Alewife, all the way to Braintree and Ashmont, is it will be in a really solid state of repair following the completion of this Braintree branch. Ashmont to JFK, we did that in September of last year, and that is actually with this diversion, that's proving to be a very strategic plan because folks are using the Ashmont service to get into Boston. And the feedback we see on social media, the fact that we did that work when we did it allows it to be a very useful alternative. And with headways right now anywhere from 5 to 6 minutes, that's what the Red Line should look like. That gives people a good taste of what it will look like once we're done with this work. The speed restrictions from Boston out into Alewife, we cured those a couple of weeks ago, and same thing, people are in awe of just how fast it is. I've seen a lot of commentary and heard some customer feedback about, someone had got on the train and they looked down and they started to text or read email and they thought they were at the station, come to find out they had missed their stop, right? And they were already too far. So what we'll have with this portion of the work complete is a really solid red line from the top to bottom and out to Ashmont. I think that the problems that we've had for the last year or so is as we start to cure problems, trains, right, they will always find the weakest point. They'll find the bottleneck. And so when you have trains, say from Ashmont to JFK, running now at 40 miles an hour, when they now get into the main line of the Red Line out to Alewife and there's still speed restrictions out there, things start to back up onto each other. So to make it all work, it's really an orchestration that relies on, little to no speed restrictions for the entire line to see the benefits at both ends. And Joe, one thing I do want to point out is as we take delivery of more new CRRC Red Line trains, passengers are going to see just what is possible when you have track that is speed restriction free, you have the amount of equipment needed to deliver those regular headways. It doesn't, it's, riding the Red Line is no longer a matter of I missed that train and now I have to wait 15 minutes. It's really going to set the footwork for what the Red Line of the future looks like. And it's only going to get better as more new trains come in and they get put into service. This is the Red Line that our passengers deserve.
Yeah, well, since you brought it up, I do have to ask, do you have any insight as to when those new cars will be put in service?
Yeah, so they continue to be delivered based on the schedule that's been set up. Not a day goes by where I don't go past Cabot and I see at least one new married pair because the cars actually show up as two separate cars. They get put together as one married pair, right? So a Red Line train typically runs with six cars. That's three married pairs. But all of the folks from the factory are there. When the car gets delivered, there's a lot of detail work, a lot of setup work that has to happen once it's on the track. But they're bustling. There's a lot of activity, and really can't wait till we start to see more. But right now, everything's on track.
Are there any projects going on at the stations, Mr. Callahan, during this shutdown? The five stations and six stations involved?
Yeah. So anytime we get the opportunity to piggyback extra work onto work that's going to impact train service, we seize that opportunity. So stations are getting a thorough top to bottom scrub, the type of clean that you really can't get under traffic. And particularly when you're doing construction, right? Think about if you're having work done in your home or your apartment, drywall work, for example, dust everywhere. Well, railroad work is not much different. So what we do is, as we start to complete sections of work, we will actually come back in and do a thorough detail of every station to get all of that construction-related debris out, so that when we do turn the service back on, passengers are greeted with a bright, clean, fully functioning station.
As it stands right now, is September 30th still the date for the Red Line service to resume?
We are on track. Now, it's early and a lot can happen, but we monitor it, hour to hour, basically. We have folks on our team who are solely dedicated to working with the project teams, with the contractors involved. MBTA has, several hundred employees out in the field watching, checking, quality assurance, and of course recording the actual work done. So we're all hands on deck, but we are fully focused on returning this back to service on schedule with those 20 speed restrictions lifted.
Did you have to bring on new personnel for this particular project?
Well, I mean, the MBTA is actively hiring in all types of roles. If anyone is interested, I urge you to go to the website. Not just a shameless plug, but it's a great place to work. But so we've a lot of our construction folks, we've refocused on the track improvement program because they know the nuts and the bolts of it, right? They understand the tolerances and what we need to safely and reliably operate the service. So, they've worked exclusively on the track improvement program since it began at the end of last year, and they'll continue to stay focused on that mission right through the end of 2024. Speaking of timelines and deadlines, General Manager Eng, made a commitment that we were going to have the entire system free of speed restrictions by the end of 2024, and we're on track to do that.
Talk a little bit, if you can, about the replacement buses, the shuttle bus service that's being offered during the shutdown, and also the ferry service too here in Quincy.
Glad you mentioned, Joe, the ferry service. I've always considered the ferry service to be the sort of the hidden jewel of the MBTA. The MBTA is one of few transit authorities across the country that operates, every mode of public transportation between heavy rail, light rail, commuter rail, bus, paratransit, and water transportation. That would only make sense when you look at Boston and where we're situated and all of our neighboring communities, lots of waterfront, right? So the ferry service out of Hingham Hull in Quincy is up and running. I urge anyone who has never experienced the ferry service, take a chance, take a ride. It's a beautiful trip. I mean, we're sort of in the prime time of the year where the ferry, it's a beautiful ride, just warm enough, just cool enough. So if anyone is looking for new ways to get in and out of Boston, particularly from the Quincy area, I highly recommend checking out the ferry service. And of course, we are offering alternative transportation via shuttle buses, which will get you up and down the affected area with a connection into the Ashmont station for a service. Like I said, every 5 or 6 minutes, there's a train coming in from Ashmont, and that service is up and running. And then also the existing commuter rail service between Braintree and Boston, that makes stops at Quincy Center in JFK. So highly recommend that to folks as well. And that alternative commuter rail service is free, just like the shuttle buses.
Great. Anything else you'd like to add right now, Mr. Colleen?
When it does come to shuttle buses, I understand it is inconvenient, right? Nobody wants to spend their commute on a shuttle bus to make a connection to then get into Boston. But we have folks who monitor this in real time. We have a strong working relationship with our alternative service contractors, and we will always adapt and overcome. For example, today, here we are, the first big day of this shutdown, and there's several discussions going on already before 10 a.m. on Monday to talk about ways to improve that alternative service. And we'll continue to do that right through the very end. This is a long diversion, but every day, every hour, if we can learn a way to improve it, we're committed to do that.
Yeah, has there ever been such a lengthy shutdown on any T line that you're aware of?
I think the only thing that comes to mind that's a comparison is when the Orange Line just about 2 years ago was shut down for the full 30 days. When you look at the track improvement program that we've been engaged in here since the end of last year, this is the biggest shutdown. But it's the biggest portion of subway line that we're out there addressing, and it's probably the most impactful results. But the MBTA, we've made the commitment, we've delivered on the commitment with our previous diversions, and we're going to do it again with this one.
What is the best way for riders to stay in touch with what's going on?
Right. So the best way to stay in touch, the latest and greatest for service and any updates, MBTA.com. If you're not signed up for T alerts, that's the best way to know almost in real time when there's a change to transportation services. So I suggest everyone to make sure they're signed up for T alerts. The website's the best way. And of course, social media, whether it's on X, pick one, Right? Social media is a whole part of our business. So definitely keep tabs on social media, but I think T-Alerts and NBTA.com is always the best place.
Great. I really appreciate your time. Please reach out here at QATV. If we can help get any messages out for you in the community, we're happy to do that.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, we even with Friday and school starting back up last week, there's been a lot of follow-up even right through this weekend, working with the schools and trying to figure out how to keep this diversion being as least impactful. We know there's going to be impact, and again, we don't enjoy putting people on buses to go connect to trains while we do work, but talked about very early in this discussion, so much of this is not just replacing the ties and the rail. It's about building this out and changing the approach and the mindset, and with that outside the box thinking of how do we make sure this never happens again. So,
Great. Well, again, thanks for your time, and I'm sure we'll be chatting throughout the project.
actually, yeah. If there's any you would want to do any follow-up towards the end of the diversion or shortly after we return it to service, love to.
Very good.